One lesson that I've really learned over the last couple of years is that there are phases to things, right? And we know this instinctually, that we all go through phases and periods, and that when things are dark or when things are hard, to remind yourself, this is a phase. There is an endpoint. There is light at the end of the tunnel. And when things are good, to like really soak them in and appreciate them and try and like, it's almost like you're building your storehouse for when things aren't going to be good again, because you know that's also coming.
Welcome to the Men of the Hour podcast. I'm your host, Justin Crawford, and for the last few years, this podcast has been aiming to drive positive social impact to our listeners' lives with the lessons and stories learned from today's most influential men. My guests have brought up every topic in the book, from health and wellness to personal struggles and career successes. But no matter what the topic is, I want you to leave this podcast feeling inspired to get out there and create the life worth living for yourself, starting with the one you're listening to right now. Thanks for being here when you could have chose any other podcast out there. Now here's today's episode. You're tuning into a special edition of the Men of the Hour podcast, and that's Founders Week. Every other season on this podcast, I invite a handful of founders to join me in a conversation about entrepreneurship, building a brand, and the best lessons learned while doing what they love. You're in for a treat this week, as I've got some of my friends from the greatest Better For You brands out there, and that includes Roan, Hubi, Better & Better, Meter, Supergut, and The Athletic Brewing Company. Thanks for tuning in today, wherever you're listening. Now sit back and get ready to learn something new.
When you could have chosen any other podcast, thank you so much, because right now we're joined by the founder of Roan. If you don't know what Roan is, it's a men's athletic apparel company, which is now leaning more into the work leisure. I didn't even know what the word work leisure was until I discovered what Roan was several years ago in New York. And now we have the founder, and I'm just so freaking excited because Nate, as I just said before we got onto this recording of this podcast episode, my friend, you are very well respected, and I can't wait to find out why. So thank you so much for being on Founders Week.
I feel like I'm only going to disappoint you now. This is not, it's not great to go in with like a big reputation in any way. But yeah, hopefully I can live up to it. Similarly, you've interviewed so many amazing people, some people that I consider to be good friends, and, it's awesome what you're doing. So I'm thrilled to be on with you.
Well, we've been more connected than you would have thought. So you're the only founder on this, guest. You're the only guest on this podcast that I already had 700 ties to before I interviewed you. So I call everyone before this, and I'm talking to your team, and I'm like, oh my God, I got to get Founders Week going. I got to figure out what brands are going to be represented. Can I get, make sure when we get Nate on, we should get Nate on, and it was a really cool moment. Cause I go, we've already been connected. We already have the same community. We already have the same friends, but it's around what you built. I came to Roan 3 years ago. I was like, hey, are y'all doing any activations and live workouts? And can you send celebrity products for me, please, Roan? Marissa, help me gift talent, So we'd already been connected since the pandemic. So I do want to go back to not the hard days of the pandemic with you, but I want to start with where you really felt like your purpose in Roan elevated during a time when people needed to feel like they had purpose with working out, feeling confident, because your clothes have made a lot of people, including myself, feel very confident. And especially with this work leisure idea, which we'll get into in a moment. But where has that been for you as a founder and the one who really built created this business?
Yeah. I mean, so many different ways to take that, but honestly, with the pandemic, I always go back to this example. I remember I was reliving the early stages of the pandemic with somebody yesterday. And one of the things we were laughing about is right at the beginning of the pandemic, do you remember how every brand on planet Earth was sending the same email, which is hey, we're taking care of our employees. Our stores are safe. We just want you to know about it. And it felt so self-serving, and I was really bothered by it. And I remember our team was frantic. We've got to send one of these emails about the state of our country, the state of the planet, the fate of their family. That's what they're worried about. They don't honestly care whether or not we've cleansed our retail stores. So we don't need to send that to them. It just feels like It just feels like that's the wrong approach. So I remember challenging us to say, like, what's the email we would want to receive? And so we ended up crafting this email that was not another COVID-19 email. And at the very top, we said, hey, if you're interested to know how we're handling our team and our stores, like, you can click here and there's a link and it took you to some messaging. But it's like, here's 30 days of at-home workouts you can do with most home gym equipment. Here's 30 days with recipes of stuff that you like already likely have in your kitchen. And here's a COVID playlist to like keep you occupied. And I remember it was like a few of these things. We were, at least as far as I know, in our orbit, the first one to do this. And I think I personally got 100 emails back from customers saying, like, thank you so much for sending this. I've used your workouts, or I've used these recipes, or I've used these. And to me, it just spoke so much of like how brands really are like relationships. You know what I mean? And so when your customer is going through a hard time, what would you do as a friend? How would you handle that? And the pandemic was tough on so many. So that's kind of how we tried to look at it, is like, how can we be there and not just ask people to like continue to come by or like give them a discount, but like really deepen our relationship with people. And yeah, we want them to be wearing our stuff. And we think that our stuff is like, the amount of times people are like, I have basically only worn Roan for 6 months straight was great. But that wasn't how we thought it. We thought about it like, how do we do something for them?
Right.
And that's, you know, that was the approach.
Yeah, it was a fantastic approach. It's why I wear Roan every day. What's so cool is you say like relationships, and people don't often think about that because they think too much about the money. So when you first started the business, and we know what it's like to start a business, right? If you're tuning in right now, you've already heard either several conversations, there's some bumped right after Nate where we talk money and we have to, right? Because that's part of building a company. Like, why else would do it, right? You got to make money. So then for you, when you were trying to do so, you then had to think more about relationships first, or that was that later in the progression of Roan being built?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it always had to be part of our mission, was like this idea of, you know, the world did not need another clothing company. Like, that wasn't what people were screaming for. And so for us to exist, we had to do it better. We had to do it different. And I do find like the best companies start with more than just like, how can we make a buck? Because, you know, the how can we make a buck companies are like, here's this really gimmicky product. We're going to take as much out of it as possible to drive as much margin as possible. And then we're going to try and drive sales velocity as quickly as possible before people realize how much this product is mediocre. And like, it's actually not very good. And, you know, again, when you think about a relationship, it's this idea of give, give, give. And then the ask becomes natural. Whereas I feel like so many companies and so many brands are like, just it's like a one-way relationship. You know what I mean? Every interaction it's all about me. I want you to know about me. Here's this new color. Here's this new product. Here's this, you know, like, we're giving you a discount. Have you thought about this lately? And it's like, I don't know. I didn't like anybody in high school or college that was only ever wanted to talk about themselves. Mm-hmm. So I feel like we've tried to take that approach. We're not always great at it, but that's the bar that we try and hold ourselves accountable to.
What does that balance look like then? So if you think about like how much you have to be selling Roan and how much you have to be giving Roan, right? There's a huge difference. It's really important. I think we understand that from a founder yourself, like yourself, is to know that there's a difference between selling products, like the amazing polo you're wearing, or like the pants I was wearing yesterday. Someone that was like, you look very LA chic. And I was like, thanks, Roan. You guys came out with really good pants. Anyway, so like you think of like selling as opposed to giving. Because then ultimately, like, y'all's products aren't cheap. And I'll be honest, right? Like, they're not supposed to be cheap. They're high quality. Yeah. They're long lasting. And so people are leaning into that. Great. You give 20%. Like, that's amazing, right? But then give, like, where do sales and give have a balance for Roan? And what does the team do about that balance?
Yeah. I mean, and look, there's always an internal struggle too, because we have a part of our site called The Pursuit, and all it is content. And what I love about it, and I've joked with my friends who are in publishing, I'm like, you guys have to rely on advertisers to create content. It's a requirement. It is, yeah. That's the business model. And the nice thing for us is like the business model is we're selling clothing. We don't need to advertise that to just give people honest, really great content. And so there is no, you know, as much you and I know this, like, even though we want there to be that separation and like every editing house in the world will be like, oh, there's advertising and publishing over here. And there, you know, there's a wall or a barrier between the two. There's not. I mean, like there's just a level of like scratch this back. And then, and so I like the idea to have kind of that unfiltered, pure content going through. And so that's the give aspect, is like, we're trying to give back. And also we're trying to make the best product possible in the market. That's the main give. But our revenue team, like they're measured, the KPIs, the way we, you know, measure and hold ourselves accountable is on the revenue. And so there is this like natural tension, which, you know, my brother, Ben, is our creative director, and he oversees all of our brand marketing, the pursuit and everything. And then we have a chief growth officer who runs revenue, and I kind of love it when they butt heads, when they, you know, like, he's always trying to argue, can we make our, like, if we're running a sale, can we make the font smaller on sale? Like, I don't want anybody to actually know that we're on sale. And she's like, well, if it's bigger, then we'll drive 5% more revenue. So there is this kind of natural, healthy tension there between revenue and purpose and you know, the give and the ask. And I think that's important. If you're not having those conversations, then, you know, I think you're missing the mark.
Which is my next point. There's a lot of hard conversations in businesses, especially when Rhone was a baby, right? Now Rhone is huge, global. You guys have freaking stores everywhere. Like I walked in Century City Mall in LA the other day and I was like, oh my God, they finally have a Rhone here. And I was like, oh my, you know, it was cool because you guys have built a machine. In doing so, there's a lot of hard conversations you're probably having to have. And I'm not talking about the like, hi, my mom is like not feeling well, I have to go home and take a day off. I'm talking like, we're not hitting our KPIs and this business might fold tomorrow. We're gonna have to lay off someone in a week if we don't get our shit together. What is that like, let's get our shit together moment for you all? Like, if you can give us an example of a really tough time, maybe it's the pandemic, a tough time where you were like, okay, we need to, like, you're the pilot, right? Like, you're the pilot of this airplane, Nate. And like, knowing that everyone behind you works their ass off and loves you and loves working with you because you're a great leader. So being a great leader, where was a moment where you were like, gosh, I think Rhone's not there. Like, we got to fix something. Can you walk us through the example and how you dealt with it?
Yeah. I mean, there's been several moments of that. And like, you know, I feel like everybody, sometimes these messages can come through like overly PR'd. And so I'm a big believer in just being really transparent and really vulnerable and sharing some of the hard, because I remember being an aspiring entrepreneur and in the early stages, like you'd hear people on a podcast or on stage and they will only tell you the highlights. Like, and I hear, it's funny to hear you reflect your perception of Rhone. And I hear this all the time of like, oh my gosh, you guys are killing it. And like, you know, you got storage everywhere. And I'm like, man, I still feel like we're a hot mess sometimes. And there's so many things we have to fix. And like, I can't wait till we don't have to worry about this. And we're going to, you know, wait, you think we're good now, like wait until next year. And I mean, we're still growing so fast and the business is changing like every stage, as I was saying to you before we started, is just so different. So I'll give you like a really very honest recent example. In Q4 of 2020, after the pandemic, when supply chain was at an all-time complicated nightmare, like we do some production in Vietnam, and Vietnam as a country was being shut down. You know, government is saying like, you cannot open a factory. And so trying to scramble and figure out how we're going to get inventory in, make sure our workers are safe, like all that stuff, it was really scary. And what I realized during that time is, I read this book, you know, from the Netflix founder Reed Hastings, called No Rules Rules. I think that's the name. And he talks a lot about talent density in the organization and how they built talent density at Netflix. And I just remember it hit me so hard because I love the people that we had hired. And in, I think in like year three or four, an entrepreneur that I really respected said to me, he said, the hardest time of an entrepreneur's journey is the period between where he knows he needs to make changes with people he cares about and the time he actually does it. And for me, that was a while. Like, I refused to make changes with people or bring in people over the top of friends who had helped us get off the business off the ground. You know, there's some level of demotion. There's some, you know, there's some people that are just, and it, that nearly killed me. Like I, the amount of like depression and anxiety that I went through just struggling of like, how am I going to ask my friend to have a boss no longer report to me, or like maybe it's time for them to move on and do something different. Like, they might be really good at early stage stuff, but not great at the stage that we're at right now. And the mistakes that we're making are costing the company so much money that like it's threatening everything. We won't be able to pay our CX team or retail workers. I mean, I was panicked, and I realized during this phase as I was going through this, I'm like, if I don't do this, I'm going to threaten everything that we've worked so hard for. And so I just decided I had to like go through with it. And we made a lot of changes in a very short period of time, hired some amazing talent, and we're able to keep a lot of amazing people who mean a lot to me and who have done so much for the organization and who I care deeply about. But that transformation was hard. And I just feel like, you know, everybody goes through it. And I try to remind myself, like, I'm lucky that this is the challenge that I have to go through versus some of the others. But yeah, that was a recent one that like really, really pushed me to my limit.
Like you had said, you'd even like probably lost sleep a lot in between that time when you know you have to make a decision and then actually making the decision. But at the core of what you just said is relationships, which you had alluded to at the beginning of this conversation, which I don't think a lot of founders actually take into consideration when making business decisions. That said, it's such a beautiful thing to see in your leadership skills. And I think what's so interesting is you'd even said like, whatever changes you had to make, it came down to how you felt about the person who you had to make it on behalf of. That is leadership, right? So then, and even now, when you're thinking about the team that you've built and how much and how vulnerable and transparent you have to be, right? Like, how has that successfully helped you come to ease? And right, you said depression and anxiety, and I can only imagine. So then now, in sitting in 2022, you know, September, how do you feel about where you're at with the team and having made those decisions, but also continuing to be the boss that cares about your people and the person that actually knows that the paycheck that they get every 2 weeks is their livelihood? And so whatever decisions you make from the top affects them. No one ever talks about this stuff. So like, how has that helped you personally, really?
Yeah, I just feel like you have to be really intentional about it, right? Like, it's one thing if you go through a hard time and you're forced to go through a hard time, and another thing where you kind of like things are easy and you force yourself to remember what it's like to be in hardship. And so I just, to me, it's like, I have to set my intentions and I have to start my day where like I can be quiet and I can remind myself, one, how blessed I am, how lucky I am, how fortunate I am, and how grateful I need to be for the team, so that I never lose sight of that. And by the way, you can't fake this. Like, people are way too smart, and they know if you're faking or if it's artificial. Even when you're sincere, some people will assume that it's artificial. And I've always said, I feel like Rome would be a lot more successful if I was more cutthroat. Like, if I was like, I didn't care and was willing to fire people faster. I'm not that way. And so as a result, like, the company's not going to be that way. And while I think that might have helped us scale faster or grow faster, I think in the long run, this is the right approach. Because if you go back 20 years ago, if somebody was a really difficult person to work with, they could hide that almost for an entire career. Yeah, there were reference calls and everything else, But now I don't think you can be a jerk and not have that follow you like that. You know what I mean? It just, it's really hard to hide that kind of stuff. And not to say that, you know, there's like, I'll give you an example of this that like literally breaks my heart. We had an employee on our retail team and we found out that there was, you know, in protection of this individual was doing something that was, you know, they were basically taking money from the company. And our team was like, we have to fire this person. And I said, I want to be on the call. Like I want to be on the call. So I called and I said, hey, we've made this decision. This is why we've made this decision. And then I got on with this individual afterwards. They told me that the reason why is they were going through a financial hard time. And I said, look, I will personally come out of pocket to pay for the amount of money that's been lost as a result of this. And I'd like to have you take 2 weeks and then consider if you want to come back and I'll pay for it. It's like, it'll come out of my pocket. And they were great. And they were, you know, seemed contrite about it. And then in that process of those 2 weeks went online and in like a HR review site left like a really terrible review about working at the company. And I realized in that moment, like you can't, no matter, you know, when you hear somebody say something negative about a leader or about you, like you, I can't escape it. And I'm not trying to please everyone. So there's this balance of like trying to be a good person, trying to do the right thing, trying to take good care of people, and then letting it be enough for yourself, which is something that I've kind of struggled with. And so, yeah, I don't think it's easy. I just think it, you know, it just takes time and effort and patience.
This Founders Week special is proudly brought to you by my friends at Better and Better. This premium and natural, vegan and eco-friendly oral care brand is taking our smiles and our planet on a remarkable journey with their mission, story, and of course, amazing products. Let me tell you, we all have something in common, and that's brushing our teeth. What we may not know, though, is that there's a new way to enhance that experience with Better and Better. I'll be honest, I didn't think there would ever be a toothpaste that could add so much value to our lives, but there is, and that was the entire vision for the founder and creator, Vladimir, who's also joining us on Founders Week. Healthy living takes effort, and change is hard, but existing habits are extremely powerful. And this is where the wellness brand Better and Better comes in. They have embedded better health and wellness into our already existing habits and routines. How easy is that? Now, you may be asking yourself, how the heck did they do this? And it's backed by science 2-in-1 all-natural vegan toothpaste. Better and Better's toothpaste is formulated to the strictest clean ingredient standards with safe, gentle, vegan, natural, and organic ingredients that you'll recognize. By simply brushing your teeth, something that we already are in the habit of doing at least twice a day for at least 2 minutes, you can enhance that experience with Better and Better's energy toothpaste, where you'll get a microdose of vitamins, specifically vitamins B12 and D3, which are actually two of the most necessary and lacking vitamins for most people. When I first tried Better and Better, it was because my friend Trevor in New York City was showcasing them on Instagram around the same time I was looking for a functional product to add to my morning routine, and what better to add than new toothpaste? After weeks of using this toothpaste, I was already seeing that I was no longer taking B12 and vitamin D pills as opposed to just brushing my teeth in the morning, again, something we already do. What was so cool is that by simply brushing your teeth normally, the dose of vitamins were delivered through your tongue, gums, and cheeks, and simply absorbed into your mouth, which is actually more efficient than doing it with your gut with those pills. And there you have it, no more swallowing of pills, no new habits to create, and no extra costs. Right now, I want you guys to try Better and Better's vitamin-infused toothpaste and any of their oral products online, and save with this exclusive offer on this Founders Week right now. Just use the code MENOFTHEHOUR20 at checkout for 20% off your first order. And all you have to do is visit betterandbetter.com to learn more about the science behind their toothpaste, their super clean ingredients, and shop. Don't forget, you can save 20% off your first order at betterandbetter.com with code MENOFTHEHOUR20 at checkout.
Yeah, and then I always used to say this, which is why I'm glad you brought it up, but particularly on this week, I mean, why we do Founders Week, why I've done it 5 times, 4 times, whatever, is you don't know until you know from the people who are behind the scenes of a brand or a company or a business or what have you. And yeah, I mean, you're giving that example of, you know, and then I didn't think it would get to, I didn't think you were going to end with them going to an HR site and what have you. And my first thought, and if you're listening, you're thinking the same thing, is Well, you can't fix people. They always say you can't make a cow drink, but even if you take it to the water, you can't fix, you know, someone that's already got so much trauma. You got to meet them halfway and see, you know, and not to get personal at all, but like all of us go through that, you know? And I think it's why there's this divide when people start businesses or they do type of business work where they feel like they have to separate the two because they don't want to get personal. So I know you've been through all of these stories and I fucking love everything you're saying, because as a small business owner, as yourself owning a business, as anybody who's listening, who's even freelanced and had to figure out how to make revenue come through, like, you know, at the end of the day, when you see numbers and you know that work is a thing, you don't want to bring your personal life into it because they always used to say that was taboo. So now my next question for you is, like, as you've done this and you've stayed so pure to who you are as a human, which is a good-natured guy that wants, you know, good for people and you want to treat people well. And I know you get excitement from being around other people, because I've heard that many times about you. It's like, that's who you are. So then to bring that into the workplace, let alone run a workplace, how?
Yeah. I mean, you're so nice, Justin. And I really appreciate the kind words. I mean, I think it's just, I don't know. It's hard to explain and put into words sometimes, but I really, my mom is like the best human you'd ever meet. She has like the most tender heart and she feels everything so deeply. Like, both my parents are actually like easily moved to emotion and just really good natured, great people. But one of the things that I have learned in working with her is, she has shown me that sometimes when you're tenderhearted, the easiest thing to do is to close off, right? And put a mask on. And, you know, speaking specifically about men, because at Roan, our whole focus and emphasis is around men's mental health. And there's a lot of research about how men tend to wear masks. We're taught to, right? Like, it's, we want to be tough. We want to show that we don't feel emotion and that we, you know, that we know what we're doing. And, you know, there, it's a crisis now. Men commit suicide at almost 4 times the rate of women, like 35% less likely to seek professional help when dealing with anxiety, depression, and issues. And so I think being aware that that's a tendency, that when I'm feeling insecure or when I'm feeling tenderhearted about this, that my tendency, my reaction is to put on a tough mask and to say, you know what? I'm going to block out the personal. I'm not going to allow myself to get emotional about this. I'm not going to allow someone to see that this hurt me or that. And I just decided to do like almost the exact opposite of that. And it's not uncommon for our entire team, you know, and we have over 100 people now, to just see a very like raw, real side of me. And I feel like in some ways, my hope is that that's going to attract the right person, and that the person that doesn't appeal to is going to be able to move on. And like, if they want to work in a more traditional climate with a founder, that's, you know, that's not like that.
Yeah.
I feel like that has worked really well. And so you asked the question of where we are now.
Mm-hmm.
My gosh, like I feel amazingly blessed. We're at an awesome stage right now. The company's growing incredibly well. We're opening a bunch of stores. We're at like one of our fastest growth rates ever. And I attribute a lot of that to the talent that we've been able to attract and keep. And some of the talent that we decided to walk away from or move on from.
And you said talent. I didn't ask this earlier because I didn't want to cut you off. Plus, like, if y'all didn't know, his microphone changed. These things happen in podcasting, and it's just great. But the reason it's great is because we're taping a live. Now I have to go back and cut some stuff out. No, I'm kidding. Nate, you had mentioned that this Netflix founder's book described talent depth. So as you read that book, what did you discover? What's the like the pure definition of like talent depth and how it pertains to Roan now?
Yeah, I mean, part of what he discusses in there is when you allow people who are not working as hard or not doing their job to stay in the organization, what that does is it burns out your top performers faster, and it makes them not want to stay because they say, hey, this person is being valued the same way as me, who's putting in all the extra effort, all the extra energy, you know, producing more. And And it doesn't mean, by the way, that everybody needs to be a kind of top performer. It just means that you need everybody in their job to be doing their job well. And when there's, you know, when there's underperformance, to address it. Sometimes underperformance can be coached and educated and worked through, and sometimes it can't. And when it can't, you need to be willing to make a change and give, you know, healthy amounts of severance and try and do right by people, because you made the mistake of hiring them and either not educating them, or, you know, you just picked the wrong person in the job. And so what I focused on is there's also the opposite, this flywheel effect that happens when you create talent density in an organization, because it's like, you know, professional sports. You bring in a great point guard, all of a sudden your center becomes better, your power forward becomes better, your shooting guard becomes better, because great people enable great performance around an organization. And so what we have looked for, what we've tried to build is, you know, is great connectivity, great talent density to that lifts the overall organization. And it's not easy. I mean, I think it's a constant pursuit, but you know, that's something that we strive for.
It's also your tagline, so I'm glad you said that. You have to tell us what your team dynamic. I know most of your team and I love them. The reason I love them is because they have passion. And from the outside, like, I don't work at Roan. I act like I do, but like, I literally love that, because that's the only type of people I don't hire people now, because I refuse to work with like people that aren't excited about what they do. Yeah. And so now I'm like, oh great, then I'm just going to interview Nate, and he's, you know, he's my, you know, meeting of the day. You know what I mean? So like, but where I'm getting at is, it's, and it kind of ties into earlier when I was like, hey, there's such a big divide of business and personal, but when you find some type of middle ground, and it, you know, you could, we could all describe and go down a rabbit hole all we want, folks, of just, you know, what you've heard from Nate so far as to how you think his team might look. But the only way to really get that answer is by having you just describe to us, the last event that you all did, maybe it was a happy hour, maybe it was a social hour, or just like a Christmas party. What did you notice? Because I know you're the one to stand in the back and look at them and go, damn, I'm so freaking happy I work with these people. Describe what happened that night and how everybody was interacting, and what you really saw with them as people that happened to work at Roan.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'll give you the evolution of this too, because I used to feel like it was my job to build a relationship with everybody in the company. And that like, I could retain great talent if I could build a personal connection to everyone. And so anytime somebody joined, I was like, you know, I was making sure I was there and that I welcomed them and that they, you know, they knew that I cared about them. Writing, every time we do semi-annual gift cards to, and I would write a thank you note to every single person in the company and make sure that they heard from me. You know, during this time, I did 3-month check-ins with every new employee. And honestly, we also launched, we did launch an internal podcast, because I wanted people to know what it feels like to be interviewed on a podcast. It feels great. And, you know, to be able to tell your story. And so I would interview team members and we would send it around so that people could get to know each other better. And I just realized, like, in a way, it was almost arrogant to place myself of such importance to like need to like be everybody's friend. And instead, what I should be celebrating are these little micro communities and micro friendships that are getting created. And so instead, it was encouraging different leaders to step in and do 3-month check-ins. And my brother now took over the podcast and is interviewing people. And so we had a recent team event, and I do remember like taking a step back and looking, I'm like, I don't have to talk to anyone. And it was amazing. And I was so grateful for it. And it just, I don't know, we had this store manager summit recently, and it's like, I love that they loved each other, you know, not that like, I don't want everyone to just need me or like me. I want them to like each other. And you only understand this, I feel like, truly when you become a parent, and you hear maybe your parents say this growing up, but it's like, all they really want is for you to get along with your siblings. And I'm like, that's not really what you want. You want something else, but like, that is legitimately what you want. And so as a leader of a company, that's like, that's how I feel about our teammates, is like, I just want them to really enjoy and like and support and believe in and give credence to, and, you know, like not doubt each other. That's what I want.
Do you see why I asked that question, everybody? That's like the answer we want. You know, I had a, there's people you can ask that question to that go, oh, it was great. We, you know, it was December 25th or whatever, December 3rd. And we were doing a holiday party and people just like mingled and it looked fun. We were in a loft that I purchased for everyone to make them feel special. No, you gave the answer that we all needed to hear. Nate, we're inching really close to the end of our conversation together, which makes me really sad. But for every good podcast has a great ending. You kidding me? If you had to give us one thing that you feel like has been life-changing for you, especially when you think about the days when you had that load of depression and anxiety around having to make changes at the company that you knew were going to affect people's lives, between that point, which might've been your lowest, I would say, like as a business person, one of your low points in your life, to now where you just describe a story, which I would feel so happy and proud of if I were you. So then, if there was one thing that you held on to as a business person to make sure, number one, the business stayed alive, but that the people within the business stayed happy and healthy within the company. And you know, like, what is one thing, could be tangible or not, that you were like every day making sure that you held on to it up until you and I started talking today about like, what, 45 minutes ago?
Yeah. Well, I think the one lesson that I've really learned over the last couple of years is that there are phases to things, right? And we know this instinctually, that we all go through phases and periods, and that when things are dark or when things are hard, to remind yourself, this is a phase. There is an endpoint. There is light at the end of the tunnel. And when things are good, to like really soak them in and appreciate them and try and like, it's almost like you're building your storehouse for when things aren't going to be good again, because you know, that's also coming. And, you know, I've started doing some endurance training in my life. And what I love about, I'm not an endurance athlete by any stretch. I always told people I have no slow twitch muscle fiber in my body. I was always like, you know, kind of fast twitch sprint. And what I love about things like marathons and endurance is like, you learn to just deal with suffering and pain, because you know there's going to be moments of like joy and lightness and fun. And it's like, you have to go through that. These extremes are necessary to create appreciation. And so as an entrepreneur, it ruins your employability. I'm sure you've seen this, because as an employee, you're kind of like this. Like, this is how I feel about work. The most happy I can feel about work and the most sad I can feel about work, the heart. And when you become an entrepreneur, it's like, it just goes like this. You know what I mean? Like, your joy and your happiness and your extremes, like off the charts, that when you go back to this, it feels like a kiddie ride. It's like you've now ridden a roller coaster, and then it's like being on a kiddie ride. But likewise, you can't increase the happiness meter without the ability to feel like deep sorrow and sadness and, you know, just difficulty. They go together. You can't separate them. And so it's why when people are like, what is it like to be an entrepreneur? I feel like I should be an entrepreneur. I'm like, you just really should check yourself, because not everybody is made for this. Not everybody really wants this. Some people like this safety zone. Mm-hmm. And so the one lesson I've learned is like, just try not to get too high, try not to get too low, and appreciate the impact of both of those things. Like, let both moments impact you, I guess.
There we go. Thank you. Thank you for the time, energy, everything that you said that was relative to passion, teamwork, talent, depth, what you do, what you've done. And then this bigger picture idea, which you just alluded to, which is just phases of personal and professional life that I think people need to, like you were in motion, y'all, if you didn't, and we wouldn't have the video up for you to see, but he was doing this like xylophone effect of from the, you know, sad and all the way to the happy. And I think that's so powerful because that's not often you get to like have that lens, but if you can think about of that, and that was your one thing, right? Just acknowledging that that's in existence. That is what we can check in, right? And you said it, check yourself. Like, do you want to be an entrepreneur? I'm not sure. Maybe after listening to these Founders Week specials, you're like, no, I'm out. Thanks. I'm just going to shop at Roan and stick to my 9-to-5. Or maybe you are inspired to do entrepreneurship and this could be very much your starting week for that. Or again, like what inspired it was a long time ago. It's like, you know, on this very podcast, it was a lot of conversation around health and wellness and the pursuit of like a great career and what are the highs and lows. And I was like, yeah, okay. But like people are business people and we all have to have money in the bank account, you know, to survive. So you've added such value to this week for that, Nate. And I can't thank you enough for saying yes. It was so last minute. Y'all, everybody who's been on this week said yes to me within 4 days. And I couldn't be more grateful because I know it's a conversation that I'm sure you learned something from as well. If you had tuned in. So thanks again for clicking play. And Nate, my friend, my new friend, I just have to tell you, it was such an honor to meet you. And everything you've said is just proven fact that we, as anybody who wants to create a business, has to understand where relationships and people play into that and do so with integrity and respect. So thank you.
Thanks so much, Justin. It's been a privilege.
Hey friends, Justin again. Well, that was the conversation today and I hope you took plenty away from it. For those who keep coming back to this podcast, I want to say thank you for always being here and growing with my guests and I over the years. And if you're new to the Men of the Hour show, thank you for being here and I'd love for you to come back next time by clicking that subscribe button. Oh, and for all of us tuning in right now, I'd love to hear your thoughts on today's episode by leaving a rating and review right where you're listening. Until next week, I'm your host, Justin Crawford. Continue taking care of yourself and inspiring others to do the same.